Income does not equal wealth. That's because between the amount of your paycheck and how much you actually put in the bank, there's all those other things like your debt and your expenses that you have to pay. You may not be able to keep much of your income. But wealth means financial security. So what we now know is that there's actually a racial gap when it comes to employment. But even for those who are employed, for those who have a good income, there's still a racial gap in terms of wealth. And it's especially bad for women of color. Here are some of the numbers, not including the cars they own. Let's set cars aside. The average single white woman has about $4,000 in assets. The average Hispanic woman has $120. And the average African-American woman, only about $100. We've got Ella Edmondson-Bell with us to talk about this. She's a professor of business administration at Dartmouth's Tuck School, and she joins us from North Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you explain to me why this is? Why is there such a vast gap between the races on the issue of wealth?
Well, I think one reason is that there is such a thing as generational wealth, wealth that is passed down from our parents, our grandparents, African-American women, Hispanic women. We come from families where there is not, where we don't get a leg up from generational wealth because our parents and our grandparents didn't have that wealth to pass down to us. So we start at the short end of the stick. The next problem is that we are in industries and in jobs that do not give us the good fringe benefits. We don't get the big bonuses. We don't get good pension plans. We don't get health plans. So those monies have to be put out in other ways. So not only do we not bring it in terms of salary, we're not getting the fringe benefits that often come with salary that allows us to put more money away.
Ella, there's also another issue that I was interested to read about, and that's that sometimes the expenses themselves are higher. For example, there's a lot of instances of redlining in urban communities on the parts of insurance companies, so they're paying higher insurance rate for their homes and their cars. Their expenses
very
are higher.
And if you look at the latest mortgage fiasco, many African American women were caught up on that in terms of the types of mortgages that they were able to get, and that those mortgages were the high prime mortgages, subprime mortgages, and fell through the cracks and required much more money with less house. And then there's the other reality that many of the women we're talking about are either single, divorced, and single heads of households. So there's not a double income there to consider. So there's even less money to put away. A woman is responsible for not only providing food, clothing, and shelter, but daycare and everything else for her family on a very low income rate.
Okay, so there's a lot of contributing factors here.
There's a lot of contributing factors, and this should not come as a big, big surprise, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's go back to Esther Bush, who heads the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh. Esther, you take all these contributing factors, and you say, well, listen, there's still things that you can do about that, right? For the public that you serve, the community that you serve, you're trying to help them out through financial literacy, trying to help them get better mortgages, get better loans, right?
Absolutely. And the information that was just shared, we see it every single day. And it's important for your entire listening audience to understand the impact of all of those things over decades and generations. Right now, we have a mortgage foreclosure program with women coming in, and it is some of the deals that the mortgage owners are trying to have these women sign are unbelievable. I even took a couple of them to my board meeting, and the head of my board, who is an attorney, he read the paper and literally opened his mouth. He could not believe that a firm, a bank, a mortgage company was asking somebody to sign papers that if my mortgage is $300 today and I can't pay it, how am I going to pay you $450 over the next X amount of months to catch up? So even some of the remedies are just really, truly ridiculous. And the way things are designed, they're designed seemingly to keep these women and other poor, low-income people in the hole.
Okay, well, explain to me, what are the number one and number two things that someone can do who's in this situation? Maybe somebody has a good income and they want to start building their assets and building their wealth. What are the first things they should do?
The first thing they should do is put themselves on a budget, and no matter the amount of their income, make sure that they put aside something to save. People always say, or typically say, you know, I don't make enough to save. Yes, you do. If it's $5 a paycheck, if it's $10, until you can get up to $100 or whatever is affordable for you, because what's critically important is to begin the habit, is to begin to understand the critical importance of savings and understanding how that savings can swell over time.
Okay, Ella, explain to me, is there a cultural gap here as well? We're talking about minority communities in which Esther is talking about a financial literacy problem where she's trying to help them get loans that are to their advantage and help them get fair insurance rates. Is there a cultural gap?
I think there is an exposure issue. If my mother and father had to work doubly hard just to keep a roof over my head, make sure I was fed, we didn't talk about necessarily savings. We didn't talk about stock. We didn't talk about investment. I think that is an issue that plagues our community. We are in a position where we don't have a lot of extra income at all. So ways that we can build wealth, particularly ways that whites have the opportunity to do because they've been exposed early on. I mean, many of my students, for example, at the Tuck School of Business have had stocks since they were children. That was a game that they had with their parents. Each birthday, they got shares in stock and would follow it. You don't have that in our communities because we just don't have the knowledge, but we also don't have the monies to put aside like that, quite honestly. So the ways that whites in their culture, many of them who can build wealth, we just don't have access.
You got to find the ways to talk about it. That's Ella Edmondson Bell, professor of business at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business, author of Career GPS, and Esther Bush, president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh.